Let me pray. Lord God, I am in awe of the love that it took for you to go to the cross. Lord, for you to step out of heaven and into time, and to go to the cross and to die for our sins, to die for us who do not deserve it, so that we can boast in you. Lord, help our hearts to be aligned with you, with the cross. Help it to be the only thing that we boast in, Lord. In your name, amen. Good morning. This is the time in our service where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to do that this morning, and we're going to look at Galatians. We'll actually look at a verse from the reading that Eric did this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Galatians. And if you don't have a Bible, there's men in the front that would love to put one in your hands. Just raise your hand, and they'll hand it to you. And if you don't own a Bible, this is our gift to you. It's yours to keep. Like I said, a few minutes ago, we read Paul's closing words to the Galatians. And I want to look at one verse. I want to look at verse 14 out of chapter 6 as we come to the Lord's table and think about what Christ did when he went to the cross. So read with me Galatians 6:14. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. When Paul says boast here, he's using a word that's heavier than bragging. Translators use the word boast because it's a verb, and that's kind of the best word we have in the English language for it. It's what Paul is doing. He is boasting. But your boast reveals your identity. And the Greek word here is probably closer to the verb form of the word identity, which we really don't have in the English language. But the thing that you boast in is really what your life is built around. So when Paul says, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross, he's saying my identity is only in the cross. And it better be nowhere else. It better be only in the cross. So where do our identities tend? For some of us, it's our job. When you're making small talk with someone new, you kind of default to that. I think I'm kind of known as the coffee guy, so that might be where my identity tends towards. For others, it's your kids. Actually, how they are doing sometimes can measure how you're doing. The Judaizers had an identity. In verses 12 and 13 of this chapter, they wanted to compel the Galatians to be circumcised so they could boast in their flesh. So the Judaizers weren't looking to boast in their own acts. They were looking to boast in the obedience of the Galatians. Their identity was built on something they could get other people to do. So let's think about what it means when Paul says, my boast is in the cross. To boast in the cross is to say, everything I need has to come from outside of me. I bring nothing to this but the sin that sent Christ to the cross. At the cross, God did everything, and I contributed nothing. I didn't earn the cross, and I can't lose it. It doesn't depend on what I do. And Paul doesn't stop there. He says, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This verb is passive. Paul didn't crucify the world. The cross did it to him. And it goes both ways. The world is dead to Paul, and Paul is dead to the world. That matters because we tend to try to keep doing things for ourselves. We try to will ourselves into not caring what the world thinks. We try to discipline ourselves out of the old patterns. But Paul doesn't say he crucified the world through discipline. He says it was crucified to him through the cross. The cross killed it, and he received freedom from the world. See, the reason we build these identities, the jobs, the kids, our resume, is because every one of them is something we can hold up and say, look at me. Look at what I did. Look at what I built. The cross takes that away by showing you the only thing worth announcing. And that's something you had no part in. You can't hold up the cross and say, look at me. You can only hold it up and say, look at Christ. Before the cross, Paul had one of the most impressive resumes in all of Judaism. Philippians 3 tells us that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, he was found blameless. That's not just a career, that's generational. Eight-day circumcision means parents were faithful. The nation of Israel means he was part of the covenant people. He was in a tribe that meant royalty. Hebrew of Hebrews means the language, the culture, the identity passed down through centuries. Paul took what he inherited, his family had been building for generations, and capitalized it to the fullest. And that was his identity. And the cross killed it. In an instant on the road to Damascus, it killed it. By showing him that everything he'd been measuring his life, everything his family had been measuring their lives on, was irrelevant. And Paul isn't sad about this. Just a few verses later in Philippians 3:8, he says, I count all things to be lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Rubbish. That's the word he uses for the most impressive religious resume in the ancient world. Not it was good, but Christ is better. It was rubbish. Because once he saw what the cross accomplished, everything he thought he was building looked like rubbish. So here's the question for us this morning. Christian, you know the gospel. Christian, you believe the gospel. But is the cross your functional identity? Or has something else crept back in? Maybe this week you caught yourself running the old report card, the job, the parenting, performance. The world's system of measurement is relentless. It attacks us from every direction. And it doesn't stay dead on its own. It keeps trying to come back in our lives. And every time it does, the thing that kills it is the cross. Not your discipline, not your willpower, the cross. Because the cross is the only thing worth boasting in. Why would Christ's blood be sufficient for a sinner like me? That's what the Lord's table declares, his sufficiency. Think about what you're doing when you're taking communion. We have a cracker that represents his body. We have a cup of juice that represents his blood. And every time we take them, we're making the same declaration Paul made. My only boast is the cross. Not my week, not my performance, the cross. So before we take the elements, examine yourself, Christian. Is there something competing with the cross for your identity right now? Some achievement you're resting in, some failure you're letting define you? Both of those are the old way. Lay them down. The cross settled, you're standing before God. Come to this table and remember that. And if there's unconfessed sin that you're holding on to, bring it to him. Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 11 that whoever takes this meal in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. The issue isn't whether you're worthy. None of us are. The issue is whether you're clinging to known sin while the elements that represent the blood that paid for it. If that's you, confess it. Don't stay away. If you've confessed your sin and you trust in Christ, this morning, the elements, this table is for you. Come and remember that your only boast is in the cross. But if you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, this time is not for you. We're glad you're here, but this is a family meal for those who belong to Christ by faith. We ask that you let the elements pass by. But hear the gospel before you do. Everything we're remembering at this time is something that Jesus offers you right now. Every single person in this room is a sinner. Every single person in this room has lived for themselves. We all deserve judgment for that. But God sent his son to die on a cross in the place of everyone who would put their trust in him. Christ took the punishment we deserve, absorbed the wrath in our place, and rose from the dead 3 days later. If you turn from your sin and trust in him alone, you are forgiven today. So if that's you, take the elements. Men, come serve us. Take the elements on your own, and I'll come back and close our time in prayer.